This is Colm O'Mungain with This Week. Last week, the government took a wobble over banning stag hunting. Next week, legislation on dog breeding threatens to trip them up. At the last minute, the greyhound industry is being exempted from the bill, with the legislation governing that industry to be amended. But if the bill is passed, fox hunting kennels and commercial breeders will have to register their dogs and submit annual inspections. Breeders say the law will destroy the industry. Anne-Marie Green reports.
These are Labradors. F1 hybrids, that means they're first generation and first generation backcross. They're second generation dogs.
Rose O'Driscoll has been breeding dogs in County Wexford for the last few years.
And here I have a number of girls. This is a brew bitch, and she's about, I think she's around 5 weeks pregnant. We have grass runs down the bottom. They go to the grass runs and they spend their day out there. And
Rose is a member of Canine Breeders Ireland, CBI. It's an all-island body which says it represents up to 600 members in an industry worth more than €300 million a year. The group has serious problems with the Dog Breeding Establishments Bill. The bill, if passed, will lay out how many litters a bitch can have and how often. It will also require kennels to be registered with the local authority. Fees range from €400 to several thousand, where there are more than 100 dogs.
Well, it's not in line with the rest of Europe. It's not in line with what's going on in the north at the minute. If I were to cross the border and start to breed my Labradoodle in the north, I would be charged €36.
We feel that €1,600 for 100 bitches, if you go over 100 bitches, it's gone into 3,000. We feel that that's excessive.
CBI Treasurer Paddy Dooley.
The problem is that the licence fee in Northern Ireland is £32. We're being asked to pay in the region of, if we have more than 100 animals on the premises, 100 breeding bitches, we will be asked to pay €3,000 of a licence.
That doesn't seem like an awful lot of money in the context of a dog that can be sold for, let's say, €500.
Dogs don't make €500. We breed for an export. The pups go into England at a certain price, and when they arrive in a pet shop, the price is doubled. The breeder is only getting less than €200 for every pup. So therefore, put down the cost of heat for the pup, feed for the pup, feed for the animal. It doesn't leave an awful lot of money out of that.
Another concern is the mandatory microchipping of all dogs before they're sold from a kennel. The purpose is to make all dogs traceable back to the breeder. Last-minute amendments to the bill in recent days following threats by several Fianna Fáil and independent TDs to vote against the legislation mean that there will be a lead-in time of 6 months for compliance, plus a further 12 months before microchipping begins. But in Britain, the commercial breeders' main export market, Irish dogs have a bad name because of reporting of so-called puppy farms. The CBI says if their export dogs have to be chipped and therefore identified as Irish before the industry here is cleaned up, their market in the UK will collapse.
There's no national database, and until that's brought in, and until there's a licence fee brought in for every dog, and all the dogs in the countries are microchipped and licensed, that's the only way it can be solved.
So dogs for sale here in Ireland, it's okay to microchip them?
Absolutely.
But not for the export market?
Until such times as our dogs can be accepted in England properly.
But that would seem to be a sort of circular argument, in so much as if there's a bad reputation for Irish dogs in Britain, surely the best thing to do is clean up your act here. There may be a downturn in the short term, but long term, that's going to benefit your business.
On the long term, it probably will. But at the moment, you're putting in excessive bill of fees, and you'll still have the rogue traders getting pups into England. So it's not going to solve the problem.
Okay, now I'll just take you in and show you some of the new dogs that are in recently. And And you'll see now that all of these are recent arrivals, and there's a great variety. You have Spitz, German Shepherds, Collies, Boxers.
Barbara Bent is National Chairperson of the ISPCA.
Last month we seized a number of dogs from a dog breeder, and they were in very, very unhygienic circumstances. Some of the dogs had very bad mange. We seized a litter of West Highlands not so long ago, and they had never seen the daylight, the mothers. There were five bitches, and they were afraid of the daylight. And so that, what does that say? Those bitches were reared in the dark.
Animal welfare groups say registration and traceability is the only way to root out the rogue breeders.
if you sell puppies that are below par, if somebody buys a puppy and their children love it and 6 months later they discover it has a serious genetic problem, they would like to know who bred it so that somebody else doesn't get caught in the same way. And this is why we feel microchipping and traceability is important. With traceability, you have responsibility. And if the breeders here are producing puppies that they're not prepared to be responsible for, well, that answers all our questions.
That's the black market. And the black market has to be dealt with separate.
Sean Delmar from the Irish Kennel Club, which has been microchipping all dogs registered with them since 2006, says cleaning up the industry has to start somewhere.
Until that becomes illegal, the black market is illegal, you can't do anything about it. So if regulations are in, then you can deal with the black market and the under-the-radar people, because they will be breaking the law. As it is at the moment, they're not. So you need the law in first before you can identify that they are actually breaking the law. And I think it'll actually cure a lot of it rather than drive them under.
Good lads, good lads. And this is Tangle. Say hello, Tangle. This is RT and Shahagib. Yeah. These are two big pups here, Lighthouse and Lightfoot. And they'll start hunting now this season. I'm Chris Ryan, and this is the Scarteen hunt. It's a farmer's pack. And the Scarteens are, like you talk about tradition, they're hunting here for the last 400 years.
The Scarteen fox hunt in County Tipperary have been given an exemption on registration fees and microchipping, but Chris Ryan believes they should not be subject to the law at all.
If it's about animal welfare, yes. Why should you be exempt?
Because it's not about animal welfare. It is about for puppy farm regulation, who are under no regulation. The hunting packs are all under strict regulation by their own association, which is, in my case, the Masters of Foxhounds Association. We get kennel inspections once, twice a year.
By whom?
By the MFHA.
But that's self-regulation, and if we've learned anything in Ireland, it's that self-regulation doesn't always work. What is the problem with having the local authority vet coming in and inspecting your premises?
I think a good trade-off then perhaps would be to hand over the whole issue to the Department of Agriculture. I feel a lot happier with the Department of Agriculture. Since Trevor Sargent lost his junior ministry in there, I'm quite happy with the Department of Agriculture. And if they were introducing this bill, the who that we talk about who's driving this act forward, it takes that out of the equation.
Both the hunt clubs and the commercial breeders feel there's another agenda at play.
Certain groups in the country that don't agree with breeding and therefore they want to stop their influence in the Green Party, and that's what the Green Party is made up of activists.
I have no doubt in my mind that John Gormley and the majority of the Green politicians have a different agenda. Their agenda is an animal rights agenda. I fear that through this act they're trying to bring through, the Dog Breeding Act, that they can severely curtail hunting in Ireland. And believe you me, that is their agenda.
Well, Trevor Sargent joins me now in studio. Trevor, can we first deal with the issue of trust? That last speaker there said that they don't mind it being handled as such. It's just being handled by a Green minister is what they have a problem with.
Well, to be honest, this is part of the kind of general smear tactics that unfortunately doesn't deal with the very basic and important element of the legislation. It is a bill that has nothing to do with hunting or angling or wider country pursuits. It is about safeguarding the health and welfare of dogs without exemptions, in the sense that a dog, whether it's in a hunting kennel or it's in an animal shelter or it's been bred on a puppy farm, is entitled to the same protection under the law. And the local authority vets, I think nobody can say they have any political agenda, and they are the ones that already operate the Control of Dogs Act and already operate the Control of Horses Act, and they will be doing the same with this legislation. So I don't think there's anything other than a very straightforward element of regulation, which to date, as was mentioned on your piece there, has been governed by self-regulation. And I think in this country we realise self-regulation is not the best.
And with regard to the greyhound legislation, why was the decision made, I suppose, late in the day, that greyhounds would be covered by the Greyhound Act of 1958 and an amendment to that, rather than them being covered by the other act?
Well, that was indeed a concession to try and make sure there was absolutely no cause for suspicion or no basis for anybody to think of this other than in the best interests for the health and welfare of dogs, which I understand everybody is behind and we can all share and agree on that objective. And I was at the Environment Committee where this came up about amending the 1958 Act, and I spoke to John Gormley about it, and we looked at it, and it is possible if we have the same standard applying in the Greyhound Industry Act, which doesn't deal with breeding to date. It is about the industry and about the racetrack, but it's not about the breeding. So if it does include that legislation by way of amendment, then I think we can all go forward and recognise that everything that's been done is in the interests of the health and welfare of dogs, doesn't have any other agenda, and I think people who say otherwise are being mischievous.
Are you worried at all about its passage?
Well, I do think that it's heartening to hear that people are recognising that Minister John Gormley is reaching out to try and ensure there is the basis of a consensus there now. I'm heartened that Ciarán Lynch in the Labour Party has also acknowledged that John Gormley is reaching out to ensure that there is that consensus as well.
Did the Taoiseach play a role in John Gormley reaching out and covering greyhounds under the Greyhound Act of 1958? Was that something the Taoiseach brokered, or was that an initiative of John Gormley's himself?
Well, John Gormley has been, I mean, there's over 600 pieces submissions to this, so John Gormley has been taking on board the views as widely as he possibly can.
I'm sure the Taoiseach's view would carry a
well,
bit more
it weight.
Well,
maybe it did. I mean, I'm not here. I wasn't a fly on the wall. I don't know what went on between discussions that happen on a daily basis between Brian Cowan and John Gormley as the two leaders in the coalition. So perhaps there was, perhaps there wasn't. I'm not sure. I don't think really that's the issue. The issue here is that we are getting the amendments, which I hope will ensure that we are focused on the purpose of this bill, which is to bring regulation to an area that has not been regulated, which is going to benefit, I believe, the greyhound industry, in that the greyhound industry depends on exports to the UK, and they have microchipping. It is cheaper, more efficient, but there will be a review of this legislation after a year, and people will have their opportunity to assess it on that basis.
On that specific point, the point of microchipping, is there a database in place at the moment ready to run for when this microchipping gets up and running?
Well, they're at the local authority level, that's where the registration will be, and all of the local authorities at the moment don't have the legislation that they need, and I would be fully confident that they would have the data based on the fact that there will be legislation now to provide that. So I think we do need the legislation, because exactly the question you ask needs to be answered in the affirmative, and we don't have all that information.
But there obviously, when you compile anybody's personal details and it involves a financial transaction and the level of their business, there's confidentiality involved. So, I mean, are you looking at a major IT project across the local authorities? And if so, what will it cost?
Well, I don't see it as being insurmountable, to be honest. What we have are a small number of establishments, but because they're not regulated, they have unfortunately given an impression that Ireland is a free-for-all when it comes to puppy farms, and that impression damages our image internationally, and now that's going to be regulated. But it's a large enough industry, but I think it's manageable.
Why did this legislation need to come forward in this particular sitting of the Dáil? Because it was included in the programme for government after what might be regarded as a shaky period around NAMID. And it indicated at the time maybe that perhaps you didn't think you'd go the distance, so you had to get it done in this particular sitting.
No, this legislation has been cried out for over many years, since the time when Dick Roach was minister.
Specifically, with regard even to the stag hunting, which was the new addition by the Green Party, why in this sitting of the Dáil at this stage? I mean, is it indicative of perhaps a fear that the government mightn't have gone the distance at the time? Or what was the urgency, I suppose, when we've seen other things during the week, like the respite care that was mentioned at the top of the programme? Why did it trump that in terms of priorities?
Well, I mean, it's been a busy few weeks in the Dáil, and it's amazing that the Wildlife Amendment Bill did get the attention it got. I believe it's only five paragraphs. If you look at last week, civil partnership was far more, history making in terms of its landmark significance.
Sure,
the planning legislation since the 1960s, we haven't had the planning legislation as comprehensive as we had.
But it didn't
in the week
jeopardise
gone by.
The coalition, and there were some wobbly coalition moments there. And I mean, I suppose it looked like the coalition was in difficulty at certain points over this legislation, whereas in the areas of things like respite care, the coalition seems to have survived quite easily.
Well, I mean, I'm not happy at all that respite care would be downgraded, and I've been in touch with the HSE and they are telling me that they want to ensure that frontline services are maintained, albeit within the budgets they have, and that is a matter that is not, I would think, over. I think we still need to work at making sure there are the frontline services there. So, I mean, that's a matter that's coming up now, but it will have to be resolved. I just think that we need to get through the legislation that we have in the programme for government. Both parties signed up for it, along with the independents supporting the government, and it is an act of faith that all of the aspects of the programme for government are supported, and I believe they will be.